After my conversation with Kayla Hannah-Brown, project manager for programs at South African Cities Network, we had Jody Alemeyer, who was a contributor to their most recent city review just a few weeks ago. And she indicated, yeah, you guys should definitely speak to the people at Cities Network, which of course was always the intention. And it's interesting to speak to Kayla this morning against the background of the Telegraph newspaper voting Cape Town the third best city in the world. We're second only to Barcelona and Sydney. And we are followed by Lisbon, Venice, Los Angeles, Dubai, London, Vancouver, and Florence. That's your top 10 in terms of cities to live in. And we talk now to Kayla to help us understand exactly on what basis and when they look at the world through their lens, whether or not Cape Town truly stacks up.
Breakfast with Refilo Emolato
on Cape Talk.
Kayla Hannah-Brown, thank you for joining us this morning on Breakfast with Refilo. I am sure you've heard or seen the headlines, or if not, had a bit of a read-through on this Telegraph review, and I'd be curious to know if you think it's fair. Good morning.
Morning, Refilo, and thank you for having me. So while this is very nice news for Cape Town, and it's obviously very positive for how it can affect tourism for the entire country, I don't think we should get too excited about this news, and definitely not give it any empirical significance, because when you look at some of the indicators used for this rating by the Telegraph, it does become quite clear that it's not really a reflection of what it's actually like to live in Cape Town for most people. But I don't think it's trying to be that either. You know, they're using indicators like the number of five-star hotels, the number of Michelin restaurants, numbers of museums and galleries. So rather, the ranking might be more accurate if it was measuring the best city for tourists. But to call Cape Town the third best city in the world, I think, is misleading. But it really comes down to how do we define what a good city is? And I think that's a really nice question, and not one necessarily with a clear answer. But there are many other indicators that we can use.
Before we get there, Kayla, and I will get to that, just sticking to the Telegraph, not all of it is sort of superficial in terms of their own indicators. They talk about things that matter to a person who's living here as well as a tourist. So, for example, the safety for LGBTQ plus community, green space, air quality, disabled access. I mean, some of those are important for both tourists as well as residents. Unfortunately, the only problem, of course, is that when we look at it, depending on the neighborhood that you scan, many of those issues turn out not so great on a more honest assessment.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is where this ranking gets into dangerous territory. And they claim to be using science to get to these different rankings. But I would love to know more about how they actually are getting their data, because we know, you know, Cape Town and no city in South Africa is safe to be queer in many parts of the city, but again, it's who is this ranking actually about? You know, is it for someone living in the CBD or someone living in the townships? And it's not clear, and it's certainly not clear where they're getting their data, and what kind of significance they're giving these different indicators.
So your State of South African Cities report came out a little earlier this month for 2021, and it was, you know, it made quite a few findings. But when we look at Cape Town in particular, what are the measures that you would want to prioritize to assess whether or not it's a good place to live, and where do we stack up?
Yeah, I think that's really the question. So the Cities Network prepares and publishes these regular editions of the State of Cities report. And these reports use very thorough research and data to provide a basis on to kind of start looking at how to make South African cities better places for everyone. And they're useful because it's released every 5 years and compares stats from across the 8 metros. So it's very easy to make comparisons across the cities and over time. So what we're interested in looking at, the kind of indicators that we're using, really relate to population stats, informality, employment, service delivery, municipal finance, you know, just to name a few, but the list is very extensive and it's arranged across these kind of accessible dashboards for each city so that you can really see what's going on and make those comparisons. And to get into, you know, what it's telling us about Cape Town, which is quite interesting, I think, because in general, the city of Cape Town is actually doing quite similarly to the other cities. I think Cape Town often sees itself as different to the rest of of South Africa. And there might be this perception that unlike other cities, Cape Town is well run. But when you look at the data about the basic nuts and bolts around service delivery, the picture is actually quite similar across the biggest metros. And then in some aspects, Cape Town is doing worse. You know, it was the only city that had an increase in informality between 2015 and 2018. And in terms of food security, it shows the most worrying signs of all of the cities. I think 75% in Cape Town of the population have adequate access to food, which is much lower than the other cities. And then we don't look at homelessness stats in the report, but I wouldn't be surprised if Cape Town did have the biggest increase in homelessness over the last few years.
I mean, when you speak about informality, are you speaking about informality in housing?
Yes, exactly. Okay. So that's the percentage of dwellings that are classified as informal.
Now, in South Africa, we, for one reason or another, do not classify that informality as homelessness either, but it is definitely an indicator of proximity to homelessness, or at the very least, vulnerability in homing. Am I fair to say that?
Yeah, I think homelessness and informality are two different things. You know, I think you know, informality doesn't necessarily mean that someone doesn't have access to a house. It really just means that, you know, they're not, they don't have a title deed, so they're not recognized legally or from a kind of techno-managerial way that the city looks at land and ownership, they wouldn't be recognized as owning their property.
But Kayla, as technical goes and as life day-to-day goes, that is a pretty clear state of vulnerability in terms of housing. Without a title deed, absolutely, I can be moved at any time, any fire, any storm. I don't get services necessarily provided to me, and I clearly am not able to afford the residential sort of portfolio that is available to me in a particular city. And that I guess that's why I'm asking, from a policy development perspective, that should probably be seen as somewhat proximate to, you know, being outside of the residential provision that a city has.
No, absolutely. I completely agree with you. I think, you know, our informal population is absolutely the most vulnerable. And going forward, you know, as we tackle the issues related to climate change, you know, they will be the population most effective. And all cities have a responsibility to really tackle issues of informality and think very clearly and carefully about a kind of more comprehensive response. But when we look at service delivery, you know, across the big metros, the cities are actually doing quite well and including, you know, informal settlements. So, for example, in Cape Town, 98% of households have access to electricity. So, you know, despite huge numbers of informality, you know, 20% of Cape Town is informal. The city is still managing to get some service delivery. Of course, it's not adequate. We know that. And also, you know, it's not different to what the other metros are doing. Joburg is even higher in terms of its service delivery. But we're talking very basic service delivery here. You know, it's access to electricity, it's access to sanitation and water.
when the electricity works and when the water's not dry. Kayla, thank you very much. I'm being cynical, but there's a lot more that we can uncover from the State of Cities report to give us, I think, a more sanguine perspective on the city of Cape Town and others. And I think the point is not to get too excited about the top of the pops list and not to get too despondent about the negativity.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Kayla Hannah-Brown, Project Manager for Programs at South African Cities Network.